Hello and welcome to the Ecocentrics. I'm PK.
And I'm Tom. And this week we're going to be talking festivals.
Their climate impact.
But also the green initiatives that go along with them.
Plus some tips on how to have an eco-friendly experience. Let's dive in.
So PK, are you going to any festivals this year? Tell us. The laugh on your face is telling me something.
I actually have not planned any festivals this year. I should probably go to one or two, but I don't know. It looks like it's going to be a hot, hot, hot summer. We're having our hottest June or July on record, I think is projected. So we should probably later on include some tips on how people can stay safe and hydrated.
Oh, you've just bought in again. It's healthy food and water. Oh, brilliant.
Hydrate. Eat an apple. Have an orange. Meanwhile, other people are like, have this marijuana joint. Who needs an apple? Oh, wait. As soon as I smoke this, I'll want that apple. Not that I know anything at all about any of this. No, so I don't have any plans. I have been to a few here, and then I have some concert going experience in the States. But how about you, Tom? Are you going to any festivals this year?
Well, I was almost going to two.
You were almost going to two.
Yeah.
Were you barred?
Yeah, I'm actually not allowed into 16 of the major festivals in the UK now.
Oh, goodness. You know, I told you you shouldn't streak in public.
I was actually at Lourdes yesterday, jumping onto the pitch. That's what it was.
Oh, goodness. All right. So what were the two festivals you were almost going to go to?
Well, I'm definitely going to one of them.
Oh, okay.
I'm never in charge of making the decisions about these. It's always my friends. I just tag along. So we're going to Vegan Camp Out in a few weeks' time.
Ooh, I'm jealous.
I don't know if that's really a festival. I presume we class it as a festival.
I'm classifying it as a festival.
And I'm actually really excited for loads of exciting vegan food. But then I almost went to one which is called Truck Fest, which I feel like is the complete opposite of what we should be talking about. But I don't know if it's actually anything to do with trucks. When I Googled it, there's one which is actually loads of monster trucks, and there's also one which doesn't have anything to do with trucks. So I presume my friends know me well enough to realize I don't want to be going to somewhere the monster trucks at.
Well, I think that's interesting. I'm going to have to look up this non-truck fest.
I went to one a few years ago as well, and it reflects my personality really well, because all my friends were like, oh yeah, I'm so excited to see Declan McKenna. And I was like, I'm excited to watch the MPs talk, because there were several MPs coming to chat about topics.
That is so you. You are like the granddad.
Come on, everybody. It's a 7 o'clock talk.
Well, what about Glastonbury? Did you watch any of it online?
I hadn't planned on it. So on the last night, Elton John was playing and popped on the TV at 9 o'clock. And all of a sudden it was 11 o'clock and I watched the whole thing. I was not expecting it at all. I just loved it. It was so, so good. And this is something I want to talk about later as well. Actually, just like the happiness and the joy that comes with these things, which we don't necessarily get in other walks of life.
The benefits of going to festivals is innumerable. It's community. It's fun. I mean, it's music. Who doesn't? I mean, catch me cooking dinner with the radio blaring and I look like I'm having my one person festival in my own kitchen. Yeah. So I think of multiplying that by 200,000 people. Wow.
And I think what's really interesting is the variety of different festivals that exist now. You can get a festival for literally anything. Like, as I said a minute ago, I'm going to a vegan festival. There's literary festivals. There's a festival about wood that I've seen when I was doing the research for this. There is all sorts of festivals. And you can kind of see the massive growth of festivals over time as well. So in 2018, the market was worth around about 17 billion. By the end of this decade, they're expecting the market to be worth 40 billion. So over doubled the market for festivals. It's a massive booming area. And it's because of the things you've already talked about in terms of prosperity and joy and what it does for people. There's an interesting scale, I think, in terms of what festivals are for as well within this, because you have kind of these hedonistic, go crazy festivals, but you also have some wholesome, really fluffy festivals. And I think there's different things, different negative impacts associated with each of them, but also different positives associated with each of them. And I think that there's a massive spectrum for us to talk about in this.
Yeah, there definitely is. When you were talking about all the various type of festivals, when I lived in the United States, I used to live in this suburb of Atlanta called Decatur. It was such a cool independent, I guess it would be considered a town in terms of like scale if you compare it to a UK village town city system. but we had so many independent shops. We were known as like the independent town, but its tagline essentially on our t-shirts, it said Decatur, we have a festival for that. Like this beer, we have a beer festival. Books, we got a book festival. Yeah, so they were festival crazy.
So the impact of festivals then, I think it's important to recognize that obviously all the things that we do, there is some environmental impact. So in the UK, festivals were responsible for around about 20 kilotons of carbon dioxide emissions on site. But then if you think about travel with that as well, that number is around about five times higher. So actually, being at a festival is not the carbon intensive part of a festival. It's how you get to a festival, which is the carbon intensive part of a festival. Just like any big event, think about the FA Cup finals of a few weeks ago. Think about something like the World Cup. The carbon intensity of those events comes from people getting there, not running the event. The actual operations always a really tiny fraction of that. So actually, that's kind of the priority area from a carbon perspective. There's also obviously impact in terms of waste. So the estimates from 2020 said that across UK festivals, around about 23,000 tons of unrecycled waste was created. Again, massive, massive numbers, but when you break it down across the 1,000 festivals, still not huge amounts of waste coming from each one of them.
Circling back to the modes of transport to get there. So, I guess some positive or some more eco-friendly solutions would be taking public transport as much as you can. And if anybody missed it, it was good enough for David Grohl of the Foo Fighters to get to Glastonbury. So, if it's good enough for him and his crew, then we can take the transport as well. You can car share, or what Tom, I'm sure, is going to do when he goes to the Vegan Fest, which is hitchhike.
Oh, PK, that was a really good joke. It counteracted the fact that you called Dave Grohl David Grohl.
I call him David Grohl. I did.
David.
David. And really, I should know better because I have seen him in concert.
David, pick me, David.
But yeah, even better, I actually saw him when he was the drummer for Nirvana.
Wow, that is cool. That is really cool.
But yeah, pretty cool that I got to see him then. So anyway, David Grohl, Dave, I do it again. I'm not sure why I'm calling him David. Thomas.
I've
So yeah, so you could take public transport. Definitely car share. I mean,
always car shared when I've gone to a festival, just because the cost of parking is so much extra on the ticket.
yeah, that's true.
But I think a big part of this actually sits within the festival organisers as well, because they should recognise that actually that's the big source of their emissions. Therefore, it's kind of their responsibility to see how they can alleviate those emissions. And we'll talk about later some initiatives which have tried to combat that as well. Last year, a quarter of a million tents were left at festivals.
Quarter of a million.
Quarter of a million
That's
tents.
crazy. Every year, a 3.5 kilogram tent, the weight of that is about 25 kilograms of CO2, or about, it would be, if it was pint cups, about 250 pint cups. So one way they could get people to take their tents, if they just had a sample tent there and then right next to it had 200 plastic pint cups, or it's also like 8,700 straws. If they had a big bin and said, when you leave this here, this is the same thing. Would you just dump 250 pint cups here and walk away? Would you feel comfortable doing that? And then that way it kind of gets people thinking, because I think for the most part, people, from what I understand, think that all those abandoned tents are being collected and given to charity, but that is not the case. They're not, they're just, it's just impossible. They're missing parts. They can't be necessarily given to charity because they don't actually function properly. So yeah, so in the end, most of them are, they go to landfill.
I think you'd have to have a pretty powerful message to convince me on some things on a Monday morning after a festival. It'd have to be something pretty convincing for me to go out my way to those things. And I like sustainability.
Well, Glastonbury has 99% of their tents. So people are now packing tents more and taking them with them now that they understand this. And then they've actually, so to your point, having a festival say, we have a problem, we're going to take ownership of trying to address this problem. They work with different people to collect those tents. There's a couple festivals that I thought were really, really interesting in a couple organizations. One's called Rent a Tent by Becca Heads, and she partners with another organization called Camp Light. And together they also partner with another organization called Litter Recreations. And what they do is, after some festivals, they collect these tents, especially the pop-up ones that people just seem to leave because they only cost like £10. They're salvaged. If they can be used again, they do that again. They collect the chairs. And then what they do is they mend any that can be ment. And then if they can't be, then all those materials are given to litter recreations, which then turn them into bags or other products. So I think that's a real positive. It's not an excuse for people leaving their tent behind. I mean, I'm sorry, that's just laziness. And you've got to take ownership of your party behavior. Even if you're hungover, you know, you wouldn't just leave stuff like that in your friend's living room. You got to take it with you. The planet is our living room. So I think we've got to push measures of responsibility. And I don't care how messed up you are or how long you have to wait to be legally sober to drive. That is just part of a festival experience, being a responsible festival goer.
One of the first festivals I ever went to, at the end of it, there was like a big thing where people used to burn them. It honestly felt like it was an occult trying to get out on the Monday morning and people were just burning tents around me.
That's what I envisioned, a whole bunch of people going, Wow. I bet the wildlife in that area just loved you guys.
One thing in defense of festivals and their impact as well, I think that is really interesting. So throughout the pod, we've already talked about the rebound effect loads of times, and like actually, what happens if you save money, we spend it elsewhere, if you save carbon, we use it elsewhere. What's the counterfactual at a festival? You spend 300, 400 quid on a festival ticket to actually go to a relatively low carbon event, like we've already said, the actual event itself is relatively low carbon. I therefore think there's an argument to be made here that this is a something for the future for a low carbon society as well, because these are relatively low carbon events. And realistically, it's better than spending 400 quid on, like, I don't know, a new washing machine, which has got tons of carbon embedded into it. I say that because I've got a new washing machine recently. But I think it's interesting. It's actually a space where we can spend our money in a service-based, experience-based environment, which is doesn't have major negative environmental impacts as long as we mitigate the things we've talked about.
Well, let's talk about a few festivals that are really making some change and doing things right. And we can start with the big iconic one, Glastonbury. In, I think, 2017, they said they weren't going to have any more single-use plastic water bottles. Or maybe it was the year after that, because I think in 2017, they sold a million. And that's not counting, you know, what people brought in, but that was something that they took into their control. They really highlighted to people, bring your reusables. They still sold water in aluminium cans, which are easier for festival litter crews to pick up and recycle. But basically, they just kept pushing people, bring your reusable water bottles. They had refill stations everywhere, which is really nice. And they also impressed upon their artists, their musicians, to do the same as well and set the example. And then, in addition to that, they have also banned all non-compostable food plates, utensils. So all the utensils and all the plateware that you get at Glastonbury is compostable. And that's really significant. And they've made some other pledges as well. But considering that one of their partners is Greenpeace, that's a positive.
And given how big a festival it is, well, it's not just like some little niche festival doing this. It's a massive international spectacle which is doing these things as well. And I think that's really important in terms of actually setting the agenda on this and saying, we're going to do this. Why isn't everyone else doing this?
Yeah, and then afterwards they'll post the pictures of what the whole pitch looks like, where it used to be strewn with debris, tents, litter. At the end of it, like I said, 99% of the tents have been taken home by festival goers or have been salvaged, which is the way it should be. There's another one. So considering that you're going to the vegan campout, which they have, so for the 2023 one, 100% recycling. Zero going to landfill. So they actually partner with a company called Mountain Skip Hire, which also partners with Mid UK Recycling, and they go through all of the trash and they pull out, this is commitment. They pull out everything that can be recycled. I bet that's a serious job. I hope they get well paid for that. They have 100% plastic-free food vendors, and they have zero waste talks to also kind of encourage people. And they have I want to car share links. So they encourage people to take public transport, but they have I want to car share links. So you click on that and then it helps you connect with people in your area who want to car share. And then on top of that, they use a carbon neutral coach service. I think it's called the Green Coach, to help pick people up so that if you can't carpool or you can't get a ride, there's different places where they'll pick you up, drop you off into the campsite, which actually saves you parking fees.
And I think some of the niche initiatives coming in with smaller festivals as well are really trailblazing in terms of how things are going on. There's a festival that I've been reading about called the Timber Festival. And the basis of it is it's where there used to be an old coal mine, and instead there's now a forest there. And it's actually thinking about the space which that exists and how that's changed over time. They've got all sorts of really cool things within there. They've got things like electric buggies for people to rent and be able to move around with your kids. There's free bus transport from the local area, and they've got all of their power coming from hydrogenated vegetable oil rather than fossil fuels. So they're putting into practice all these things which make it more sustainable, and actually living by the ethos of that area too, and thinking about natural regeneration and the benefits of doing these sorts of things as well, and creating spaces for happiness and environmental sharing.
So here are some of our top tips to have a eco-friendly experience when you're doing your festivals. Take public transport if you can. Try to car share, hire a coach. I say BYOB, which is basically bring all your own plates, or it's actually BYOP probably. Bring your own plates. This is what I do when I go hiking or camping. I don't have disposables. I just have these flat origami plates, which I should probably link to in the short notes because they are super cool. And then you just fold them up and they're a cup and they're a bowl and they're a plate. And then I have my own, which everybody who's probably ever had lunch with me has seen my whole sustainable food kit. Bring that with you. Bring your reusable bottles. Almost every festival you go to now will hopefully have a place where you can get more water and fill that up. Tent. If you can afford it, buy one a tent for life, a tent that will really last you. And also, if you spend a bit of money on something like this, you are far more likely to take better care of it and to want to haul that baby back with you. You can borrow tents from people as well. But even if you only have enough money to have a really inexpensive tent, please, please, please take that with you and then donate it to somebody if you want. But pull it all up. I know it's you're tired, you're exhausted at the end of that festival, but you brought it in with you. You should take it out with you as well. Also, I think something that we didn't mention is that people love to dress up, which I think is a fun, fun part of any festival. And instead of like buying brand new online, you know, a bunch of tatty, inexpensive stuff, go to charity shops. One, your money will be going to an organization that's going to do good with it. And additionally, two, it's zero, you know, carbon footprint by buying secondhand. And gosh knows, there are so many amazing outfits to be had in charity shops. So definitely do that.
I went to a festival a couple of years ago as well. They were so good in terms of actually having a secondhand clothes market there. And it was basically just loads of really groovy garments. And you could just go and get really cool clothes from the festival. So some festivals are even doing that as well, just recognizing people want these things, but they don't want to spend 50 quid on a new thing. Happy to pay £10 for a secondhand item as well. Because you're going to be wearing it at the festival. How much are you going to wear it afterwards?
And then one more thing I'd like to mention is, you know, there is other stuff to think about. So stay safe. There's a lot of drinking going on and a lot of other activities. So especially if you're a woman, but if you're a guy as well, stay safe, buddy up, make sure you've got somebody that always knows where you are, which brings us to
the elephant in the room in this discussion in terms of the things people take at festivals, because actually that's one area where there can be a massive environmental impact. And it's something to consider in all of this as well, is actually the decisions we make in terms of taking certain drugs will have different environmental impacts. And particularly things like cocaine are associated with massive, massive amounts of deforestation in South America. So around about 95,000 hectares a year are deforested just for coca production, for cocaine. So that's, just to put it into perspective, around about the size of 260 Glastonbury's just for cocaine production. So there is an environmental impact associated with that as well.
There was one thing I forgot to mention, and I definitely want to mention it. So a gentleman by the name of Simon Heppner, he started the Sustainable Restaurant Association and also the Leave Less Mess campaign. They have a return scheme for reusable plates that they started off at the Shambhala Festival. It's a plate return scheme. They did a beta project, which was really cool. And at first they had all these pounds, like actual. Sometimes I think if you're international, you're listening to this, you're going to think pound weight. I'm talking about sterling, the money. They had these pound schemes. So it ended up being like thousands of all these heavy pounds all over the place. But now they have an app and a deposit scheme. And when you go and eat and you get your food from one of the vendors and caterers, then you just take that plate back to this well outlined place that says, here's where you we rewash your plates, and you give that to them and you get your £2 back. And I thought that was a really good idea. And so that's something that we'd like to see more and more and more of. So, you know, it's great to have compostables as well, but it'd be really great if we had products that just could be used 1,000 times.
Shambhala looks really good in terms of environmental credentials for these things. They are really doing loads, kind of sustainable energy, making sure any energy they use is 100% green, or using things like HVO, making sure there's sustainable approaches to all sorts of things. So yeah, really interesting.
They're leading the way.
Yeah.
They're definitely leading the way. All right, we have come to the quiz section of our podcast. So, Tom, are you ready?
I am ready. I'm in the focus position.
If you guys could see him, he is reclined back. It looks like he's in deep meditative or analytical thought mode. All right, Tom, in the US, at festivals such as Coachella, Stagecoach, and Desert Trip, how many tons of solid waste is generated? I don't mean that kind of solid waste. So 100 tons, 25 tons, 50 tons, or 75 tons?
Always go for the high option of PK's quizzes. 100 tons, please.
100 tons is correct. Ding, 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 ding.
And any ideas on human waste created as well? Is there a similar figure?
No, but I think that is a definite quiz for the future. Human waste. And in fact, Tom, that 100 tons is actually per a day of waste at events like Coachella.
Is it weird that I think that's lower than I was expecting?
I didn't know what I was expecting, so. Because, you know, I leave no trace when I go to festivals. All right. Now, that was the US. In the UK, annually, how many tons? 100 tons? 230,000 tons? 620 tons? 18,000 tons?
I think we said this earlier. Was it 230,000 tons?
Yes, the powers of your memory are greater than I suspected, Tom. Yes. So it's like 78 fully loaded Boeing 747 jumbo jets. Pretty significant. All right. Next question. Which festival is considered the most sustainable in the world? This is by A Green Festival, which is AGF, and they certify sustainable festivals, a really cool organization. So which do they deem to be the most sustainable in the world? Digital, Bearded Theory, Shill Fest, or PK's Back Garden Squid Games Festival?
Oh, PK's Back Garden Squid Festivals. I hope it's not based on the TV series and that's actually just a festival with loads of squids kicking about as well. You got a big tank.
Yes, I just have all my encephalopods. Come to my back garden. It's actually Digital. So Digital is a Netherlands festival. And in 2017, they had their 20,000 attendees produced a whopping 162 kilograms of plastic waste.
Wow.
Yeah, they've got a lot going on. Next question. Test your memory, Tom. How many tents are abandoned each year at UK festivals?
It was somewhere in the region of 200,000, I think.
Correct. Correct. And what percentage of waste is from tents at UK festivals? 9, 17, 24, or 32?
I imagine a small chunk. 9, let's go 9%. I'm gonna go with the opposite of what the answer always is in PK's quizzes and go low.
Wrong! But it's not 32, it's 17. Oh, it's 17%.
That's a big chunk of festival waste, really.
Yes, it is. Well, well done, Tom.
80% again, I'll take that. You've made it. You've made it to the end of Tom and PK's festival episode. Hopefully, you feel as good as you did after you watched Elton John.
I don't think we'll ever be able to make anybody feel that good, but we can always try. If you'd like to share any of your festival tips, get in touch at hellothecocentrics.com.
You can also find us on the normal places, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, and LinkedIn.
Until next week, adios.
Bye.